Blog Talk Radio.
When the tomb was open wide,
Welcome to Miracle Internet Church. I'm Pastor Sabrina, and we all, thank you, Brother Bill, are so glad that you're here. Amen? We have made it into the new year, and as you know, many prominent and not so prominent persons did not cross over with us. Amen? They moved on. They transitioned. And immediately after service on Sunday, I discovered that former President Jimmy Carter transitioned as well. So I did post it in the chat room for you, for those of you who have noticed. I think his funeral, he has a place. He has to go to Washington, D.C., and then he will return to Georgia. So we are in a season of transition and change. And in the midst of all of that, we have these situations and events that are surrounding the certification of the election and the inauguration of President Trump. We've got a lot going on. Amen? A lot is going on in a completely different group of people, totally different, is going to come into office with him. There's going to be a lot of change going on. And so we want to thank God for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Everything is not going to happen just the way we think it ought to happen. That's a part of life. And it is a part of maturity. When we learn to accept things, even when we don't necessarily like them at the time. Amen? We had one perspective or point of view, and there are just as many other people who each have their own perspective and point of view. And somehow we have to come to a place of walking the same road. Amen? And such is the case with the selection of the Speaker of the House today. So we now have one, and the Vice President swore in the new Senate members. We are now moving into the 119th Congress. Amen? What came before, some of it's left over and some of it has gone and been replaced. So we're going to move forward in the grace of God. Amen? It's a great time to forgive people for things they have done that you absolutely hated. It is a great time for that. It's an opportunity to walk in fence mending, as it's called. That's what the world calls it. You already know what God calls it. So we're going to go forward. We have a mandate from heaven. We have a mandate from the citizens of the United States of America. He has given us what we asked for. So we have someone, whether we're all together pleased with them or not, we have someone in that position. And so we're going to go on and do what God is calling us to do. We're going to believe for what God wants us to believe for, and we're going to praise God no matter what happens. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I didn't come to that conclusion in 2 minutes. I've been working on it this afternoon. Amen? Lest you think I'm superhuman or super spiritual, I'm just as human as you are. Amen. Praise the Lord. But in the end, the Bible says, there goes Shakira laughing at me again, they can't walk together lest they be agreed. And we have to walk together on this road because, you see, as we progress on this road, revival is up the road somewhere. That's where it is. It's up the road somewhere. I never would have thought that we would have to go this path to find it. But we do. And since we do, we will. Amen? God, as the saying people used to say when I was a child, God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Amen? His wonders to perform. So we're going to keep our eyes on Jesus. No, we're not going to like every little single thing, but we're going to rise above it and move on with the Lord. Amen? Praise God. I'm glad you're in agreement. Amen. I know God clearly has understood because he's informed me what I think of that individual. But I've moved on from that point. This is a new year, and we have new days ahead of us. Let us make the very best of them because we won't see them again. Amen? Amen. I knew you'd get there. I know. Amen. It's real. And it's not just in America. People have deep feelings and beliefs all over the world. And believe it or not, other people are watching us do this. They need the same things that we are experiencing. Other nations do. And they are watching us to see how we fare in this situation. That's right. Somebody's always watching the example that you put forth. Somebody has their eyes on you. Somebody needs to know the power of God in nations and in the world. And they're going to watch us to see if this God that many of us declare is really the real God. So we cannot afford to let our own personal opinion mire the path. Amen. We can find that little jar that we have for our own personal opinions and drop that one right in the jar and put the lid back on because we have to keep going. This is not just other Christians or other would-be Christians in the United States watching us. This is a worldwide drama playing out. And people all over the world are watching to see what we do. We got their attention when we obeyed God and voted for the candidate of God's choosing. It has shaken up everything. The globalists and the deep state are in serious trouble, and they know it. So you're going to see more of what happened in New Orleans and more of what happened in front of the Trump Hotel, and you're going to get to know more about the enemy within. Remember back there in the day when there was the Oklahoma bombing, and they just swore the bomber came from some other country somewhere. No, he was from right here under our noses. So we're seeing that being played out yet again. Amen? The mob here is doing what they do. That's what they're doing. And so it is imperative that we listen to the voice of the Lord. Now, I'm going to say something, and it might offend somebody, but I pray they get over it. You see, there were persons that were on Bourbon Street in New Orleans. They went there. Yeah, no. They went there with the point of having fun, so they thought. But you see, when I was in college, someone took me to Bourbon Street. I didn't know what Bourbon Street was. I just knew it was in New Orleans. That was all I knew at the time. And when I got there, I found out what it was, and I never went back. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. Now, my parents loved New Orleans. I don't know why, but they did. I didn't. Amen? I didn't. And my feelings about that place have not changed. So, if you were a Christian hanging out with some friends of yours that maybe weren't Christians, and maybe, that's right, you can feel the evil there. I couldn't stand it. And maybe you were with a relative or some cousins and they wanted to go there and you didn't really want to go, but you wanted to hang out with your cousin. So you stepped into that world called compromise and you went there with your cousin. And you were there to see what happened. Maybe you weren't one of the victims, but maybe you saw what happened. Now, that tragedy has marked your soul. You'll never be able to erase the fact that you were there and you witnessed such. And maybe you almost got hurt. Why am I saying all this? Because we must learn once and for all to listen to the voice of God. We must needs be learned that when you get that tug in your spirit and he's saying no, it means no. It means no. When God says no, it means no. Now, some of us, over the years of our lives, have been indoctrinated in the idolatry of self-will. But I'm here to tell you that self-will can get you killed. Self-will can get you killed. I think we understand that now. Self-will can get you killed. It matters where you are. It matters what you're doing. It matters if you're in the will of God or if you decided to do what you want to do. It might actually cost you or someone you love their lives. So tonight we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about it. Because some of us still go around every day doing it the way we usually do it. And we don't ask the Holy Spirit at any time, is this the way you want me to do this today? Do you want me to go the way I normally go or would you rather me do something else? You know, I've mentioned this before, but I'm certain some of you have forgotten it. But it matters if you take time to ask him that question. It matters. And what happened a few days ago is a perfect example of how that can take place. Amen. See, you've been called out of the world. And you can't do what everybody else does. You have to learn. You must be a person. You must be a person who listens to God and obeys him. Plans were. It's important. So we're going to learn to listen to God all the more. And we're going to give him our undivided attention. And we're going to learn to submit to him all the more. Wherever we are in the process of submitting to God, we're going to go to the next level. That's right. We're going to go to the next level. So, there's a journey. There's a journey. So shall we begin? Heavenly Father, sometimes we come to you out of frustration because we are not pleased with our own personal performance. It appears to us that we are not producing that which we should be producing because we are just not as efficient or effective as we think we ought to be. Lord, we ask for your help in planning our days, paying attention to our duties, staying focused on our assignment, establishing priorities in our work, and making steady progress toward our objectives. Give us insight, Father. Help us to see any habits that we may have that might tend to make us unproductive. Reveal to us ways to better handle the tedious tasks that we must perform so that we can achieve the greatest results possible. Help us to organize our efforts, schedule our activities, and budget our time. From the Holy Bible, by your Spirit, through the people who work with us, or by whatever means you choose, Lord, reveal to us that which we need to know and do in order to become a more productive and fruitful worker and saint. Our heart's desire is to give our very best to you and to those who are depending upon us. When we become frustrated because that is not taking place, help us, Father, by the power of your Spirit, to do whatever is necessary to correct that situation so that we can once again function with accuracy and proficiency. Thank you, Lord, for bringing all these things to pass in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, and we thank you. Amen? We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. So if you missed the announcement, you need to scroll up if you're in the chat room and visit with the announcement. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Our featured proverb is Proverbs 11. Our featured proverb is Proverbs 11 for tonight. And we have two verses for meditation to consider. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, and Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, and Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 18. Our featured ebook is Sexual Marine Spirit, Husband's Water Mate, Wise ebook. Amen? So the link is in the chat room, and I would hope that you would avail yourself to that information. Amen? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for gathering us together tonight for the word and for fellowship and for love and for grace and for forgiveness of sin. Father, in the name of Jesus, in obedience to your word and as a result of the move of the Spirit on our will, we forgive all such that should be forgiven by us. And we ask you to forgive us of our sin. We ask you, Lord, to cleanse us, to purge us, to correct us, to mold us, to shape us, and to develop us into the saints that you would have us to be. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. Lord, when we make a mistake, help us to recover. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Help us to recover, Lord. When we go off track, help us to recover. Amen. So we're going to begin tonight in Genesis to begin. We're going to begin in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse 10. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 10. The title of this message is Listen for His Voice. Listen for His Voice. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou any to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So you see here that the Lord, the angel of the Lord, spoke to Abraham, and Abraham responded. He did not ignore him. He was listening. And he was paying it. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Praise God. This is a wonderful miracle that's been recorded in the Bible for our benefit. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That's a wonderful blessing. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. because thou hast obeyed my voice. So you see, saints, there are some criteria that must be met in order to obey the voice of the Lord. We can see through this passage that Abraham was exceedingly blessed because he obeyed the voice of the Lord. But in order to obey the voice of the Lord, we must first be willing to listen to the voice of the Lord. It is required that we are attentive, that we are paying attention, that we are waiting to hear, that we are willing to still our own selves and shut out the other voices that are in the periphery. We must be willing to pull ourselves out of the present circumstances and come away to that place within where Jesus lives with us. We must be willing to make room for him. We must be willing to make room for the Lord through listening to his voice. Now, I know that there are some of you that want to tell me, well, how am I supposed to know when it's his voice? Well, guess what? We've been having fasts every month for a very long time, years even. And as you continually seek the Lord, you become accustomed to how he often approaches you. You get to know him through your personal prayer life, through the word, and how he moves in your life. You come to know over a period of time, especially if you do as we tell you, and practice 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. You bind every thought as we have trained you to do, then over time you learn that this particular voice isn't the Lord. You learn to try them, test them, and find out if it's God. You learn that over time. And over the time that we've been learning to seek the Lord, that we've been being trained in this, by now, we should have some degree of certainty when we are hearing from God. Now, there is nothing wrong with asking the Lord, Lord, was that you? Nothing wrong with that. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He does not lie. If you bind every voice, as we instruct you to, then you will find that the other voice eventually minimizes and that the voice of the Lord grows stronger. Yes, you will need to use your faith. Yes, you will need to repent of sin. Yes. Yes, you will need to tell the truth. Yes. It's important to have these elements, these parts, in your life. It's important because it's important to hear from God. No, youth doesn't always walk in wisdom. Sometimes there's an overabundance of foolishness. How awful to lose your life simply because you want to go party with your friends. And no matter how many times your parents tell you this isn't something you ought to do, you choose to override. You see, that young lady had the grace of God extended to her because her mother constantly said to her, begged her and pleaded with her not to go. But she overrode that authority that was placed in her life to protect her life. And she paid for that sin and mistake with her life. Dangerous. I had a technician once, and we had to work on New Year's Day. And she had been out partying in the nightclub the night before. And so it was the two of us there working, and we were talking. And she told me she went out to the nightclub, and that while she was at the nightclub partying and having a good time, as she thought, shooting started. Bullets were flying. And the person standing directly next to her hit the floor, having been shot. That bullet could have killed you. And so she confessed that her mother had asked her to stay home, had asked her and pleaded with her, don't go, stay home. But being as foolish as she was, she went anyway. Well, she almost died. So you see, it's important, no matter what your age, to listen for the voice of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning with verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning with verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning with verse 20. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. In order to cleave to the Lord, we often have to leave something else. We have to make a choice. Are successful and some of us are not. Amen? Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You see, God loves us, saints, but we really need to realize how much he really does love us. One of the most important reasons we are given the Bible, the Word of God, is so that we can know the wonderful plans that God has for us, experience his presence in our lives, and be equipped to fulfill his will on earth. The Bible contains God's word, the specific things he knew we would need to know in order to live a life that pleases him. He wants us to hear his voice in our spirit, no matter what the circumstances are in life, or how many other voices are pressing upon us for our attention. His voice rises above the loud noisiness and confusion of all other sounds. If we have learned to listen, if we have learned to listen for his voice and to recognize him when he is speaking to us. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, I told you I was at an appointment, and I was sitting there having a conversation with one of the technicians. And suddenly, the Lord decided to speak. And as he opened her mouth and began to address this particular issue, I knew he was talking to me. And I knew that he was telling me about something in my life that did not please him at all. And I immediately put my hand in the air and acknowledged that he was speaking to me. Now, she might not have known what that meant, but the Lord did. And I knew he was telling me what for. And I repented on the spot. So, what do you mean? Well, okay. This is what I meant. So, on this past holiday, I gave you a choice. I said, we are enjoying the presence of our God, ourselves, and our loved ones. For those who prefer a message, here it is. You see, God is teaching us to go a little different from the pace that we have had in the past. He's doing things in our individual lives. And while we would prefer to hear a live sermon sometimes, he's going to give us a recast because he wants us to be refreshed in that message. So there's no need for us to moan and groan now, is there? Praise the Lord. God's presence in our lives and his words within our spirit can dispel the greatest sorrow, cut through the clouds of distraction and confusion, and rise above the threats and taunt of demonic spirits that would bind us to their evil. even their godless ideas, and snatch us from God's promise of eternity with him. But God's word cannot do any of these things unless we have diligently studied his written word and learned to recognize his voice of revelation speaking in our spirit. It cannot guide us on the path of righteousness or keep us out of the captivity of Satan unless we know it. It will not instruct in spiritual warfare in our battles with Satan and his demonic forces unless it has become our warfare victory manual. This book, this holy book, is filled with God's words for us today. It is written in his voice, and reading it will be like sitting at his feet as he speaks to us about our daily interactions and needs. It seeks to articulate the thoughts of God for his children. It will inform your day. These words from this holy book will guide your path, your resolve, and provide your defensive and offensive strategies against Satan. God himself spoke to us about the importance of knowing and hearing his words when he said from Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." It provides your needs, and it brings a satisfaction when received. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You see, God's trying to help us. God is trying to help us. Perhaps we should allow him to do so. Amen? Perhaps we should humble ourselves a bit more and allow him to do that. So I want to encourage each of us, allow God to sit with us in conversation each day, and to fill our spirit with his counsel and guidance. It will enrich our lives and prepare us to be victorious in each circumstance and situation that we face. God's holy word, whether written, amen, or spoken, or observed, or rising from our spirit man, will be all that we need to live a life that is fully pleasing to him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 50. Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. It brought me back to life. I was sinking. I was despairing. I was becoming depressed. Feel the enemy closing in on me. But this is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word. Joshua chapter 9, verse 14. Joshua chapter 9, verse 14. Joshua. Now, saints, as much time as Joshua spent in the tabernacle and spent under the tutoring of Moses, he made a mistake. He stepped out of the way. You see, anybody can get pulled aside and forget to do what they know is right. That can happen to anyone. Why? Because there are no perfect humans. They don't exist. So you should not expect to be one, nor should you expect anyone else to be one. That would be an unrealistic expectation. It's one that you can anyone else. Verse 14, and the men took of their victuals, their food. Now, you've read this story before in Joshua, and if you did not, you may go back and read it in chapter 9. And here it is, ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They made a choice. They made a decision to do what seemed to be to them the normal course of action. However, they did not first ask counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And when you read the rest of the chapter, you'll find that it had substantial outcome. We'll call it that. Substantial outcomes. As a matter of fact, it changed some things throughout the course of Jewish history because this incident took place. See, it only has to happen one time to shift things in a manner that they should not be shifted. I'll let you think about that. Judges chapter 18, verse 5. Judges chapter 18, verse 5. Let's go back to Joshua a second. Now, the Lord's trying to tell us something. I've touched on it already, but I'm going to say it again. We have the tendency, proclivity, to be people of habit. And we go about doing what we do because that seems to us to be the normal thing to do. And we do not pause to ask counsel at the mouth of the Lord. But we need to work to eliminate that particular habit from our lives. Amen? We need to individually go before the Lord and ask his help in coming out of that habit, because it is common to mankind. Amen? Amen. Judges chapter 18, verse 5. Judges chapter 18, verse 5. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. In other words, we need to ask God's counsel here. He is our counselor. We need to find out if we're going the right way and if the way in which we go is going to be prosperous. That's something else we fly right by as humans, even as saints. But we need to work on this, saints, in our individual lives. We need to work on this. Because too often we miss blessings because we do not do this. Job chapter 12, verse 13. Job chapter 12, verse 13. With him, with God, our God, is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Amen? With him is wisdom and strength. We need both. Yes, we do. We need both. And we need a lot of it, especially in the day in which we live. Amen. True wisdom and power are God. He alone knows what we should do, and he understands. He is well able to counsel us if we would humble our little arrogant selves. Yes, we think we know. We've done this before, so we don't have to ask him this time. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We think we've got the answer. But usually, we don't have it all. We might have part of it, but not the whole. We might have part of the answer, but not the right timing. So God has counseled us to turn from our wicked ways. And one of our wicked ways is not asking him first. Praise God. Psalm 16, verse 7. And we're going to deal with the first part of the verse. Psalm 16, verse 7. I will bless the Lord. Amen. Who hath given me counsel. I will bless the Lord. Who hath given me counsel. You see, there is a response when God answers that we should step in. We should bless the Lord when he counsels us and gives us the wisdom and the understanding and the guidance that we need. Psalm 33, verse 11. Psalm 33, 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. You know, I was talking to a saint one day, and the Lord spoke to me to tell this person that he never intended for a certain individual to ever enter that saint's life. But that saint didn't believe me. You see, God's counsel is God's counsel. You can't say, well, I'll come back later and see if God will change his mind when God has already spoken. He's not like us. He doesn't waver. There is no shadow of turning in him. He was saying to this individual, I never intended for you to have any relationship at all with that person. And that meant that God would never desire for that person to have any relationship with that other person in this life, period. But you know, saints, I've noticed something over the many years that I've been in ministry. People hear what they want to hear, not always what God says. Amen. Psalm 73, verse 24. Psalm 73, verse 24. Psalm 73, verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. It's pretty plain. God is saying quite simply, this is how he's going to guide you, with his counsel. Amen. Psalm 107, beginning with verse 10. Psalm 107, beginning with verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God. Because they rebelled against the words of God. Tim. The counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of God. And they did not esteem the counsel of the Most High. Saints, don't do that. Don't do that. It doesn't bring good results. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14. Counsel is mine. God said, counsel is his, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. It doesn't say I am understanding. I have strength. I know for most people, they've come to a place at some point in their life where the counsel of God was made known to them somehow. But they didn't esteem God or his agent to be worthy of their full attention and obedience. Let's not do that again if we've ever done it. Amen? If we've ever done that, let's not repeat that. Amen? I think that's a good idea, don't you? I think it's a great idea. We made enough mistakes. Amen? We made enough errors. We messed up just enough time. Let's not do that again. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Amen. My child, saith the Lord, it is my desire that you will do what is right in my sight, and that you will walk in the ways of righteousness. Seek my face, just like my servant Josiah did. Purge your life and your home of the powers of darkness that arise as altars of wickedness in this present generation. Break down the wickedness of the media, which has corrupted the eyes of this present generation, over the powers of the enemy that are permeating the airwaves and releasing filth, and violence upon this land. Seek my righteousness and fill the eyes and the ears of this generation with the wonders and the miracles of my great love power. Now, saints, God's talking to us. God is talking to us. Miracle, are you listening to what God is saying to you? I hope so. Because this is extremely important to him. Extremely important to him. So for a few moments, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and I'm going to move through here with a little expedience, and we're going to talk about Josiah. I think everybody in this ministry is now over 8 years old. Well, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And so I think everyone is covered by what needs to be said and done. First, we're going to pray. Amen? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we take authority over the princes of media in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the high places of witchcraft be destroyed, and let the eyes and ears of this present generation be turned to your righteousness. Allow us, Lord, to become a beacon of light in this evil world, just like that city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hid. And use us, Lord, to raise up a standard of righteousness in this land. We thank you, Lord, for receiving our prayer and for answering it. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Now, Josiah, I'm in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did accomplish, performed that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. He didn't get out of line with God. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. While he was young, he started off his path seeking after God. Now, if you were raised in a religious church, they tried to tell you that you couldn't join the church till you got to be 12 years old. I got news for you. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and you give yourself to him and you ask him to come inside of you, that's it right there. Their rule doesn't count. That's their religion. It doesn't have to be your religion. Amen. I'm glad I hadn't heard that when I was about 3 years old. All I knew is my grandmother would be in her bedroom and she would pray to God. She would talk to him. And so she had told me all about Jesus when we were in the kitchen and she was cooking. And I was, you know, playing in the kitchen while she was cooking. She taught about Jesus. And so when I got good and ready, I marched right into her bedroom by her bed. And I had a little talk with Jesus. I wasn't quite 3 yet. Amen. There are some people that are Christians and they know more than 5 scriptures and they are yet to talk to their own grandchildren about Jesus Christ and his love for them. Amen. And in verse 4, and they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence. And the images that were on high above them, he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images, he broke in pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon the altars and cleanse Judah and Jerusalem. And he continued this work. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land, he ordered them to repair the house of the Lord his God. And he gave them money to do it with. And they gave the money in the hand of those that had the work to do the oversight in the house of the Lord. I'm in verse 10. And they repaired the house of the Lord. And in verse 12, and the men did the work faithfully. They were skilled. They did what was their part. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. My, it's amazing what you'll find in the house. And they brought it to him, saying, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And then they took it to the king, and saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. So what happened was they read the book before the king. And it came to pass, I'm in verse 19, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. He tore his clothes. In verse 21, he said, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Amen? They went and found Huldah in verse 22. And she was the wife of the gentleman that kept the king's wardrobe. And she was in Jerusalem in the college. She was an educated woman. And they told her all that had happened. Verse 23, and she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the king of Judah, because, verse 25, they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. Amen. Verse 26. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. She sent back a message. Verse 27, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Verse 28, behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Now, I want to point something out right here. The Lord did not change his judgment. He just decided that he would spare those whose hearts that were tender when they discovered what had gone wrong. So you see, saints, we need to continue in our repentance of things that are wrong in our world. In the chat room, I placed some information. All kinds of them. And some of those things are extremely grievous, especially what's going on college campuses. those who should be leading them in the right way are leading them in a path of destruction. So we must be grieved in our hearts because of it. And we must cry out to the Lord, or else their lives may be lost. Their lives may be lost because they have the idea now that they don't have to grow up. You see, their parents did their best, whatever that may have been, and they entrusted them to go to an establishment of higher learning at great cost to help them develop and mature that they might come out the adults that they ought to be. But that's not what happened. The very perversion has happened. Harvard University was originally, and I hope to some degree still is, a school of divinity, as quite a few of the Ivy League schools were initially established as. They were to bring forth ministers and preachers of the gospel. But as you can see, they have fallen far from that. We should be concerned. We should be concerned to the extent that we cry out to God. We should be concerned to the extent that we cry out to God. We can't just read it and go, oh, well. It's destroying people's lives. Oh, when you don't get your way, all you've got to do is mull wine and act like a fool. We don't need that. As we grow older, these are going to be the people that are leading the businesses and the government that we participate in. We don't need that. We don't need that. So we have to cry out to the Lord concerning it. We can't just find out about it and do absolutely nothing. That would be our sin. And the Bible says we are not to be partakers of other men's sin. Amen. Amen. You see, they're very impressionable. And so they just go along with whatever. They go along to get along. Why? They've seen everybody else do it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Our prayer must help steer them back onto the right path. Amen. Amen. We need to know that. We need to depend on God for it. We need to believe God for it, to turn them around. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. You see, we just cannot go around, once we've become enlightened, at least to a degree, connecting ourselves with things that are not profitable in Christ. We have a policy ministry. The Holy Spirit made it a policy. As I was typing it up one day, he told me to put it in the chat room. And he made it a policy in this ministry. It reads thusly, vetting, to examine, investigate, or evaluate in a thorough or expert way. Saints, you are not allowed to take persons or practices, traditions, into your personal life which have not been vetted by God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're just going to go marching off, oh, this sounds good to me. Oh, I think I want to do it. Oh, I'm in the flesh. I'm in the flesh. Oh, yes, I'm in the flesh. Oh, no. Amen. God's been trying to help us with this, and we need to receive more of his help. Amen. Psalm 33, verse 20. Amen. Where did I put that? Oh, Psalm 33, verse 20. Amen. You said, wow, this is a different sign. Yes, it is. We live in changing times. The same but changing. The same but changing. You see, saints, God wants to provide us with the help we need. We need help in dealing with the LGBTQIA++++ cult religion. We need help. We need help with everything. Amen? We need help with everything. Amen. Psalm 33, verse 20. Psalm 33, verse 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 42, verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Why am I upset? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. God will come help us. But we can't walk around acting like we know what to do. We've got the answers. We figured it out. We can come up with a way. You know, some of us are good schemers and connivers. Some of us are even manipulators. It's part of the weakness of our fiber. But we have to learn to humble ourselves and drop that old habit. And drop that old habit and learn to lean on God. You know, we're full of bright ideas, but they're not God ideas. Psalm 94, verse 17. Psalm 94, verse 17. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. It is important for us to learn to depend on the Lord even more. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. Yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God will come to our rescue if we ever dismount and humble ourselves and seek him for the help that we need. Isaiah 65, verse 24. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. See, he's there for us. But sometimes we don't want to trust him. Now, isn't that not so smart? Isn't that really not so smart? Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a blessing to know that we have a God that will rush to our need when we finally acknowledge that we need him and that we don't have all the answers. And sometimes we don't have any of the answers yet. But we know that our answer is found in him. So, God wants to provide the help we need. God wants to help us. But we must ask him. We have to repent of whatever it was we were doing before that wasn't right anyway. Amen? He will help us, but we are required to ask him for the help that we need to ask. And it would be nice if we would be specific, if we would actually get to the point. Sometimes you have to wait a little bit while a prayer is being formed within you. If you ask the Holy Spirit to help you with the prayer, he will help you. He will help you. Yes, he will. 2, verse 19. Psalm 22, verse 19. Amen. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Haste thee to help me. 11. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. In the world we live in, we have people that are organized to destroy us. We can't just depend on the help of human beings. We must go beyond what humans can do to our God. Psalm 40, verse 17. Psalm 40, verse 17. But I am poor and needy. The Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. We need God to help us, saints. Psalm 119. Verse 173, Psalm 119, verse 173. Amen. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precept. Help me, Lord. James chapter 4, verse 2. James chapter 4, verse 2. James chapter 4, verse 2. Ye lust and have not, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. We need to avoid World War III, saints. But how many of us in our daily prayers are calling out to God for peace on earth instead of World War III? Amen. Amen. We need to not have World War III. We need to not experience this. We need to not experience another pandemic. We don't need to know about any bird flu that they made up trying to con us again, trying to deceive us and mislead us again. We already know that game. We ought not play it this time. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. God wants us to have full joy. James, chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Saints, this is the time of need. Amen. This is the hour of need. We need God. Yes, we do. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God will help us, saints, if we listen to his voice and choose to obey him and then do it. We must ask him for the help that we need. We must stop pretending that we can handle it all and we don't need his help. We need his help on every itsy bitsy teeny weeny little thing. And we need to recognize that. We need to allow God to be all that he wants to be in our lives. Can you say amen? We need to stop keeping God from being all he wants to be and doing all he wants to do and revealing himself to us the way he wants to by the fact that we think we've already got it all together when we don't. Amen? We must learn to submit ourselves to him. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. That's right, Brother Marshall. That's exactly right. And we need to get on this. Been pointing out places where we need to turn from our wicked ways, this is one of the places. Amen? We want to know, well, why nothing's happened? Well, we got something we need to do, and he's awaiting for us. Let's not keep him waiting. Amen. Let's not keep God awaiting. Let's do what we ought to do. Praise God. Amen. Speaking of that, amen. Father, we want to thank you for the armor of God. We want to thank you that we wear it. We want to thank you for the purpose that you gave it to us. And we are completely covered in the name of Jesus. You are our shepherd, and we shall not want. You have supplied all of our need according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus, our Lord, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we'll always obey your word and cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We will cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. We thank you and we give you praise that we have been graced with divine help because you are our God. You are the God who heals all of our diseases, and by your stripes we have been healed. We thank you for prosperity and good health, even as our souls prosper. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, we bind Satan, the strong man, and all of his evil angels, evil spirits, demonic agents, all of his underlings, decisions, timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, and orders. And we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic against the righteous in Jesus' name. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And we close and seal all portals, channels, open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. And we bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong men and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness and placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind Scientology and all of its efforts to deceive men and women and to pull them away from their search of the true and living God in the name of Jesus. We bind the deceiver and we bind the deception in Jesus' name. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks and we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporters, watchers, peeps, listeners, whisperers, familiar, electronic, digital, technology demons and their attacks, Leviathan spirits, brainwashing Kundalini psychic spirits and their attacks, all water and marine spirits and their attacks, sex devils and their attacks, unclean spirits, passive devils, intellectual spirits, whoredom spirits and their attacks, pornography spirits and their attacks, all the voices of the stranger, the charmer, and the seducer in their attacks, all hypnotic and trance devils in their attacks, all mystic rituals and their intent. We bind in the name of Jesus Christ all pain-afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation, deprivation, and artificial intelligence spirit, smart dust spirits, Havana syndrome, brain changes, injuries, all remote viewing, all sonic and audio weapons, all targeted radio frequency, pulse weapons, and their attacks, microwave attacks, debilitating sonic frequency attacks, the work of every druid. All electronic and magnetic attacks, electromagnetic attacks, smart technology attacks, techno-paganism, and mind control by the occult, force feedback, cyber stalking, cyber sex crime, pornography, demonic curiosity, bewitching spirits which manipulate modern technology, pulse microwave radiation attacks cause neurological problems, brain injuries, debilitating headaches, vertigo, binding directed energy microwave weapons, binding all vibrations, which are demons. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind all microwave frequency attacks, 5G, and components, and everything attacking us here on Earth from outer space, or what we refer to as outer space, whether it be an orbit or a satellite or any such thing, created or man-made, and its being. We bind the reception of those transmissions from any receptor on Earth, including the cell towers and our own devices, in Jesus' holy name. We take authority, dominion, and power over satellite systems, especially those that were not created by God. We bind their wicked works in the name of Jesus. We want to thank you, Lord, for teaching people how to manage the gift that you have placed in them, how to work with you, how to submit to you, how to open themselves to your leading and not their emotions and their flesh, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. We overturn and empty all the cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts, Buddhist, black magic, Santeria, Kabbalah, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, Indian, African, European, North American, South, interplanetary, We bind all Morgellons attacks. We bind Caribbean and Latin American black and white magic. We bind all these attacks, and we return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal form, shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in our culture. We bind hyperactivity, racing mind, inattention, impulsivity, low levels of dopamine. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the powers of the dog and every abomination that's been committed. We bind the Lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all satanic ritual abuse devils, satanic worship, witchcraft dedications, and all rituals done on the phases of the moon. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders and their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits, spirits of infirmity and supplanting, the gods of the people of the land, the gods of the groves, and every spirit that exalts science, logic, human reasoning, against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, monitor, track, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, defile, corrupt, undermine, despise, bewitch, tranquilize, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We bind the shedding of injected persons upon us. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind the bondage of generations of fools and the spirit of the fool in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind. We bind the fool's anger in Jesus' name. We bind food lust, addictions, and gluttony. We bind false flags. Amen. We return to sender. According to the covenant, all and every reprisal, retribution, counterattack, psychic weapon, retaliation, all avenging, all blowbacks, all vengeance, blood rituals, every boomerang, each payback, and all requiting of our righteous warfare in Jesus' name. This includes every evil work, mark, rite, ritual, ceremony, sacrifice, proclamation, backlash, pronouncement, vow, root work, or sin against us. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lift up those individuals, those entities, those characters that are continually hexing and vexing members of this body. We bind those hexes and return them to sender in Jesus' name. Every single one of them. Father, we thank you for destroying their protection so that it lands wherever it came from in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you to destroy with holy fire every voodoo doll, voodoo pin, and the curses that go with it in the name of Jesus Christ. We will not receive this from any entity. We raise the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. We bind waterworks. We bind waterworks in the name of Jesus Christ. We take authority, dominion, and power over every demon that's attempting to use water as a weapon against us in Jesus' name and as a vehicle for sin against us. We return it back with the fire of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Ruka de Abrishala de Yosunda Abrake, de Rukura de Akahareki, Yerukula de Yasunda Abruka Kia Shaka. Astral projections. We cut the silver cords in the name of Jesus and cauterize the end. Amen. Sending demons to us to work against us and against all that pertains to us. No demon, no wicked person or unrighteous event left behind. Binding the inordinate use of conjugal rights. Returning to sender, all witchcraft attacks through channeling and the satellites against the website, the broadcast, and the app. Binding all abortions as a magical ritual. Returning to sender, all Cameroonian wizardry, black magic, jujus, hexes, vexes, and black magic and such in Jesus' name. We're returning all tribal witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. We send back all Chaldean witchcraft, all Jewish witchcraft, all Jewish mysticism. We return it back in the name of Jesus Christ. We return all Spanish and Mexican witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. And we bind every coven, cult, conclave, cabal, and the so-called planetary shift in the name of Jesus Christ. We take authority, dominion, and power over any act of the occult or witchcraft started by a Satanist, a beta man, a witch doctor, a witch, or the kings and queens of the coast in Jesus' name. We're breaking and destroying our social and emotional psychological ties with food and drink, which are displeasing to Jesus Christ, binding superficial religious acts and every act of sexual sin, binding magic spells for love, money, protection, black magic, white magic, candle magic, hoodoo, root work, lucky charms, high magic, and folk magic spells, binding the demons of energies, boomeranging their wicked works upon them, binding all magical language, magic signs, magic patterns, even in numbering, binding synchrony, binding and caging Poseidon and other underwater demons and stripping them of their crowns, powers, and thrones in the name of Jesus and transferring them back to Jesus Christ. All power belongs to God. binding all conjurations and summonings of demons, binding Jewish black magic, mysticism, magic writings, artifacts, the essence of magic and Jewish magic by practitioners, by witches, by sorcerers, amulets, bowls, precious stones, incantations, divining practices, magic spells, potions, and all other means of disseminating evil in Jesus' name, binding all blockages to righteous spiritual reception. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order, New Age movement, Great Reset, the make-believe fantasy, fables, enchantments, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirits and works of the oppressor, and the spirit and the children of disobedience. Father, we curse the doctrine that was put forth in that Barbie movie and in other media. I don't have to grow up. I won't grow up. I will not grow up. We bind it and we curse it at its root. In Jesus' holy name. It is contrary to the will of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We don't want to go to work because we don't have to act like grown-ups. We don't have to respond to duty because we don't want to be grown-ups. Amen. We bind martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic spirits and practices, unlawful nudity, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos, and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the king of pride and all of his underlings. We send them bound and chained into the spiritual cage to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We bind all human, demonic, blood, sexual, financial, animal, food, fecal, and soulish sacrifices in Jesus' name. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, apathy, unyielding, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, idle mind, unfocused mind, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combated jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, violence, and temptation to sin in Jesus' name. We bind Belial, Beelzebub, Baal, Molech, Basilech, Python, Neptune, Zeus, Apollyon, Kali, all gods and goddesses, Osiris, On, Isis, all false deities in Jesus' name. Mammon, Atlas, Baphomet, and his 72, chained with eternal chains under darkness and sent to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, cold and hot spots, psychic weapons, prompters, codes, triggers, charms, tumors, designs, signals, and we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We break the powers of every Masonic ritual, rite, ceremony, pledge, vow, pledge, and pact. We bind the rituals, the brotherhood, the lodge, the craft, the worship, the grips, Freemasonry and their demonic charters and those of the affiliated organizations in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the insanity and pride of our own and work of errors of our own foolish opinions. We bind being misled and misleading others, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head, according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions and customs rooted in sin. Father, we bind the works of those who work to bring honor to themselves. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers, and we send confusion and division into their camp to remain in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And send their fear, harassments, and witchcraft back on their own heads as well as their mind control in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. We repent of an evil heart of unbelief, and we ask you, Father, to teach us to guard our hearts with all diligence. Lord, we have come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Binding all electromagnetic energy pollution, binding and returning to sender, all electromagnetic witchcraft, binding magical fantasy movies and TV shows, binding the unreality and escapism of the Hallmark Channel shows, binding the pathways to sins to the mind in Jesus' name, binding gloom, neurotic behaviors, anxiety, depression, and suicide. Lord, we have come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief, and whom we serve and obey. We bind the violent spirits, the fighting spirits, the murder spirits, and the terrorist spirits, spirits of terrorism, sleeper cells. We bind you. We bind you all in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your evil. We bind your witchcraft. We bind all Manchurian candidates in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone around the world and the demons that are stirring them up, we bind the demons in the name of Jesus. We put them into the spiritual cage. We ask you, Father, to release your angels to war against them in the name of Jesus. We bind the violent spirits, the fighting spirits, and the murder spirits. We bind the roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We bind all of his armies, and we tear down the path leading from blessing into idolatry in Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we bind every demon that has followed us, was sent to us, transferred to us, or connected to us, to be severed from us now with the sword of the Spirit, and to be bound, put in the spiritual cage, and sent to the feet of Jesus for judgment, even if they came through the computer or through our cellular devices, in Jesus' holy name. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and elsewhere, Father. We pray for kings and all who are in authority and all true Christians everywhere, especially those that are being persecuted, having their particular kind of vehicle blown up in front of a particular kind of hotel. We bind that in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, they work for the mob in the name of Jesus. And the January 6th prisoners, those that are being persecuted, hunted down to be killed, yes, them, and the January 6th prisoners. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. Father, we pray for President Trump and all who are connected to him, family, faith, prayer life, friends, employees, assets, White House staff, security forces, liabilities, presidential campaign, and his reelection, and confirmation and installation and swearing in as the 47th president of the United States of America. Amen. Hello. Properties, foreign and diplomatic relations, policies, administration, health. We are united against all assassination attempts and requesting the discovery, exposure, and demise of every coup rallied against President Trump, against all verbal attacks and false accusations against him, his family, his leadership, binding in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Matthew 18:18, all attempts by the opposition to stop, thwart, stifle, hinder, block, infiltrate, cancel, besmirch, subvert, pervert, find fault, or in any manner reduce the effectiveness of President Trump. No weapon formed against him shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that rises against him in judgment we condemn according to the covenant, requesting swift adjudication on all who engage in such actions. As it is written, through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. We want to thank you, Lord, for your word. We want to thank you for your word. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus and all other Christians worldwide in the name of Jesus Christ. We cover our mode of transportation and our vehicles and the road that we travel, the path that we use for travel, and in the blood of Jesus. Woo! Father, we cover all of Trump's transportation in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We take authority, dominion, and power over all animals and demons of the whatever we're airway, waterway, on land, so that they do not cross our path. We thank you, Father, that you have dispatched your angels ahead of us to protect us. Father, in Jesus' name, we cover ourselves and all of our property with the blood of Jesus. We take authority, dominion, and power over the demons that would attack all of Trump's properties in Jesus' holy name. We take authority over all demons of the night, bad dreams, night dreams, sex dreams, anything or anyone trying to get into our dreams and our thoughts. And we bind their efforts in the name of Jesus, and we command them to stay away. We ask you, Lord, to stir up common sense within your people. You have given us a sound mind. Help us to use it. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for the wall of fire that surrounds us with your glory in the midst. We thank you for your warring, linking angels and their fiery swords continually moving on our behalf. We thank you for your praising angels, but most of all, we thank you for your Holy Spirit in our midst whenever we come together. We pull out all witchcraft. Yes, we pull out all witchcraft. Yes, we do. Every voodoo pin. If it's sticking, pull it out in Jesus' name. We pull out all fiery darts, pins, needles, spears, voodoo, witchcraft, anything that was sent to us by the demonic realm, we send it back according to the covenant in Jesus' name. We send back all evil being sent to us in the name of Jesus Christ at any time, for any reason or no reason at all. We bind the devils in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep, and close and seal every open door to the demons. We cut and burn and destroy all ungodly silver cords and ley lines, and sever from ourselves all ungodly soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, leagues, and all of the forms of agreement with the demonic realm. Thank you, Lord. We destroy walls of protection around all the witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, globalists, nanotechnology, shamans, sorcerers, witch doctors, divinators, liars, and such. And we break down the power of all curses, hexes, vexes, spells, charms, witchcraft, death, bewitchment, psychic thoughts, potions, jinxes, psychic prayers, fetishes, charms, spells, sorcery, magic, voodoo, brain frequency meditation, all mind control, destruction, torment, pain, sickness, psychic power, incense and candle burning, psychic warfare, chanting, ungodly prayer chains, ungodly blessings, crystals, root works, hoodoo, anything sent to us from the devil we send it back to him in the name of Jesus, including tribal rituals and sins in Jesus' name. Amen. We return to the sender spirits of hate, bitterness, murder, envy, jealousy, wizardry, sorcery, blindness, spirits of blindness, to bondage, heaviness, fear, and hate. We break the yokes, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for leading us into repentance, giving us the grace of repentance from every evil work and every evil deed. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us out of darkness. And we thank you for your holy salvation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the name of God. I'm going to take it that you have read all the FYIs that I placed in the chat room so that you are already familiar. You're already familiar with them as adjudication. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of God. Praise the name of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for the privilege of coming before your throne and presenting to you before the righteous judge these adjudications and FYIs that have now become adjudications. And we're requesting adjudications, rather, from the righteous judge and his interventions concerning those FYIs and this. Montana Attorney General Austin Cudzin made waves Monday with his fiery response to a reported request from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police to observe gun shows in the state. Speaking on Montana Talks Radio, he made it clear that any surveillance by the Canadian agency would not be welcome and likened the proposal to authoritarian tactics, drawing a pointed comparison to practices by the Chinese Communist Party. Ms. revealed that the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, had contacted Montana's Department of Justice and Division of Criminal Investigations, seeking to monitor gun shows in Bozeman and Kalispell. These events are known for their robust turnout among firearms enthusiasts, and the request was allegedly tied to concerns about cross-border gun smuggling. However, Mr. Knudsen did not mince words in rejecting the proposal. My hair is absolutely on fire, he said, adding that he immediately instructed his agencies to deny any cooperation. He went on to emphasize that Montana would not allow foreign surveillance at its gun shows, declaring, if Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau wants to surveil his citizens, he can conduct surveillance in Canada. Knudsen compared the Royal Canadian Mounted Police's alleged activities to Chinese surveillance practices in the United States. Two, service centers reportedly tied to Chinese intelligence, and a case in New York where two individuals were charged with operating a covert Chinese police station. We covered that some time ago. Amen. New to me, Meta has banned all non-state-owned news in Canada. Meta has banned all non-state-owned news in Canada. Well, what do you think this is, North Korea? This is not China. We do not need Trudeau conducting China-style surveillance here in America, he said. According, underscoring his commitment to preserving Montanans' constitutional rights and local sovereignty. This isn't the first instance of alleged Canadian surveillance in Montana. In 2022, an undercover officer with a Canadian license plate was reportedly caught monitoring attendees at a gun show in Great Falls. That operation was part of a gun smuggling task force, according to Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter. These revelations have reignited tensions over foreign interference, especially in states like Montana, where gun rights are fiercely defended. Nelson tied this incident to what he sees as troubling developments in Canada, citing the arrest of journalist Ezra Levant and increased restrictions on independent media. His comments highlight growing concern among conservatives about government overreach both at home and abroad. Nelson also suggested that the Biden administration might allow such activities, though there is no indication of federal involvement in this case. By Monday afternoon, the Montana Department of Justice reported that the mounted police appeared to back off its plan. It sounds like they have suspended their most recent plans to spy on Montana gun shows, said a DOJ communications director. However, state officials remain vigilant, warning that any future attempts at foreign surveillance would be met with firm resistance. We want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudications concerning such. Requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning. Of all the appointments made by President-elect Donald Trump, few carry the significance of his nomination of Kash Patel to lead the FBI. The agency, once the cornerstone of American justice, has been tarnished by accusations of corruption, partisanship, and weaponization against political opponents. From targeting parents, voicing concerns at school board meetings, to the unprecedented raid on Mar-a-Lago, the need for reform is urgent and Patel is uniquely positioned to deliver it. Kash Patel isn't just qualified, he's a proven fighter. His pivotal role in exposing the Russian collusion hoax demonstrated his ability to cut through the bureaucratic fog and unearth uncomfortable truths. He's precisely the kind of leader who won't shy away from holding bad actors accountable, even within the highest echelons of power. Naturally, this has sparked fierce resistance from the entrenched elites who benefited from the status quo. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton compares Kash Patel, President-elect Trump's pick to head the FBI, to one of Stalin's feared secret police chiefs. Take John Bolton, for instance, compared Patel to a Soviet secret police chief in an effort to discredit his nomination. This kind of hyperbolic fear-mongering is par for the course from Beltway insiders desperate to protect their kingdom. Bolton, whose career has been marked by missteps and misjudgments, exemplifies the arrogance and detachment that have fueled public mistrust of government institutions. His criticism only underscores how much Washington fears real change. Senator J.D. Vance aptly captured the essence of the problem in his sharp rebuttal of Bolton's remarks. For too long, figures like Bolton have championed norms that prioritize preserving power over serving the public good. These so-called norms have facilitated unchecked government overreach, including the misuse of the FBI to target political dissidents and enforce a partisan agenda. The time has come to dismantle this deeply flawed system and rebuild it with integrity and accountability at its core. John Bolton has been wrong about everything, so I guess Kash Patel must be pretty awesome. Patel's nomination represents a direct challenge to these entrenched interests. His critics aren't concerned about his qualifications. They're terrified of what he might uncover. The skeletons in the FBI's closet, from politicized investigations to abuses of surveillance, aren't just scandalous. They're an indictment of how far the agency has strayed from its original mission. Patel's task is not just to reform the FBI, but to restore public trust in one of the nation's most important institutions. The loudest opposition to Patel's nomination comes from those with the most to lose. But the American people deserve a leader who will hold the powerful accountable, not protect them. If the norms Bolton and his ilk revere have brought us to this point of mistrust and dysfunction, then it's time to break them. So we want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudications concerning such. We are requesting adjudications and interventions from the righteous judge concerning. All right. On the Alex Marlowe Show this week, Breitbart's editor-in-chief, Alex Marlowe, didn't hold back his critique of Ivy League institutions like Yale University, specifically calling out a planned course on Beyonce as an example of what he sees as a trend toward academic degradation. Why would anyone need a course on Beyonce? Marlowe highlighted Yale's recently announced Beyonce Makes History course, which is set to launch in 2025, as a reflection of the evolving focus of Ivy League curricula, a shift that he argues moves away from traditional academics and veers toward pop culture and progressive ideology. Marlowe expressed, he was ticked off, over what he called the debasing of Ivy League institutions, adding, "Do the Ivy Leagues know that they degrade themselves?" Marlowe's comments align with a larger critique often voiced by conservatives, which is that higher education institutions are increasingly prioritizing left-leaning content over classic foundational subjects. He argued that universities like Yale are fostering a culture of leftism that then infects our city, suggesting that these ideological trends don't just stay on campus, but spread into society at large. Marlowe's comments reflect a growing debate about the role of universities in society and their responsibility to either preserve traditional academic rigor or adapt to a new cultural and social framework. On one side, there are voices like Marlowe, who believe universities have a responsibility to prioritize subjects that build critical thinking and foundational knowledge rather than offering courses focused on pop culture icons. I mean, what are you going to learn? How to dress like Beyonce? How to gyrate like Beyonce? What's the point? On the other side, proponents of these courses argue that figures like Beyonce represent significant cultural phenomena and influence, which are worthy of study in understanding modern history, art, and social movements. Yale's Beyonce course joins a trend of pop culture-focused classes at various institutions, with universities increasingly exploring the cultural impact of musicians, actors, and artists on society. These courses are often framed as a way to engage students in critical analysis of identity, representation, and influence in modern media. While many students and educators see value in these offerings, critics argue that they detract from the core mission of higher education, traditionally emphasized a broader base of historical, philosophical, and scientific knowledge. For Marlowe and other critics, the concern extends beyond specific course topics. It's about the broader direction of higher education and the influence it has on young adults who emerge from college with strong opinions shaped by these curricula. So what are they going to do? Tell me, somebody tell me what they're going to do when they are in government positions and what they've been trained is to gyrate like Beyonce. That's not going to help anybody when they come before the city council to get some work done on the city. How is that helpful? Amen. For Marlowe and other critics, the concern extends beyond specific course topics. It's about the broader direction of higher education and the influence it has on young adults who emerge from college with strong opinions shaped by these curricula. Before you know it, the elementary school teachers are going to teach your children how to be Beyonce, how to dress like her, act like her, on and on it goes. I mean, as it is, when you bring the pre-K kids to what we used to call nursery school, they take the little boys' clothes off and they put on girl clothes. Marlowe's critique calls attention to the potential long-term implications of a system central to academic inquiry, and he sees the move as emblematic of a deeper ideological shift that he believes dilutes traditional academic values. So we want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudication concerning that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to make a request of you. I'm asking, Lord, that you stir up the alumni, that you stir up these parents that are shelling out lots and lots and lots of money to send their child to be educated, and that's what they think is happening. But yet, this is what is actually taking place. Stir them up. Stir them up, Lord, to the point where they are roused like an army, where they become an army against this kind of infiltration of demonic activity on campus. Let them withdraw their funds and their children from such enterprise. In Jesus' name, We thank you and we give you praise for it, Lord. Amen. Are you kidding? My mother would have had a fit and a half if I called home and said, Mom, let's see, who was out back then? I can't even remember. Whoever it was. If I had called home and told her that I was going to go to some class about some foolishness like this, they would have never heard the end of it. They would have never heard the end of it. And these parents need to stop paying for that kind of filth to be poured into their children that they have worked hard, hard to train, discipline, and raise. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning the debate surrounding the origins of COVID-19 has become a case study in the dangers of censorship and government overreach. A new report alleges that President Joe Biden's administration, yes, Kamala Harris's administration, actively suppressed information from U.S. intelligence agencies that pointed to a lab leak in China as the origin of the pandemic. Well, actually, that's not the original origin, but we're going to pick it up from there. Social media platforms played a central role in this suppression, collaborating with government officials to silence dissenting voices and remove content challenging the official origin narrative. These revelations expose a troubling pattern of silencing alternative viewpoints, even at the expense of public trust and accountability. From the early days of the pandemic, government agencies and public health officials wielded immense influence over what information was deemed acceptable. This control extended far beyond public health guidance. The administration, alongside big tech platforms and so-called misinformation experts, orchestrated an aggressive campaign to suppress alternative perspectives. Representative Jim Jordan of the House Judiciary Committee recently revealed that the White House pressured Facebook to censor narratives that challenge the official zoonotic origin theory. Such efforts to stifle debate reflect a dangerous blurring of lines between government authority and private enterprise, raising serious questions about the future of free expression. While some agencies lean toward that explanation that COVID-19 jumped from animals to humans, the FBI, of all groups, can you believe it? The FBI stood alone in asserting with moderate confidence that a lab leak was the most plausible origin. According to the report, despite this, the FBI was excluded from an August 2021 intelligence briefing for President Biden. This decision baffled Dr. Jason Bannon, an FBI microbiologist and expert on biological threats. Being the only agency that assessed that a laboratory origin was more likely, we anticipated the FBI would be asked to attend, he remarked. The omission, FBI's perspective appears consistent with broader efforts to suppress the lab leak theory. This campaign to control the narrative extended to the global stage. Adrian King, a former State Department official who later worked for the National Intelligence Council, championed the World Health Organization's zoonotic findings despite criticism of the WHO's reliance on limited data from China. King's prior advisory role with the WHO raised concerns about potential conflicts of interest, especially after allegations surfaced that she worked to discredit evidence supporting the lab leak hypothesis. Critics like Thomas Dynano, former acting Assistant Secretary of State, questioned her impartiality, remarking, "It's just not appropriate to do work for a foreign power." King voices faced outright suppression. Public health officials dismissed the lab leak theory as baseless conspiracy. You know, everything we believe, so they think, is a conspiracy theory. While social media platforms systematically flagged or removed content suggesting otherwise. Testimony from NIH Deputy Director Lawrence Tabak later revealed that the NIH had funded gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the very type of work capable of producing a highly transmissible virus like COVID-19. Yet those raising questions about this connection were marginalized, with the theory often labeled as racist or unscientific. This dismissal not only stifled public inquiry, but also set a precedent for suppressing challenging but legitimate perspectives. Further complicating the narrative, the Wall Street Journal uncovered evidence of widespread suppression within government agencies themselves. At the Defense Intelligence Agency's National Center for Medical Intelligence, scientists concluded that the virus was genetically engineered in a Chinese lab. However, up to 90% of their findings were excluded from official reports. The DIA's Inspector General has since launched an investigation into the suppression of these critical contributions, signaling that internal censorship was as pervasive as the external silencing of public discourse. The ramifications of this censorship are profound. By stifling debate and controlling narratives, officials not only undermine public trust, but also delay critical inquiry into the origins of the pandemic. Even as FBIX pointed out, genetic evidence from the Wuhan Institute of Virology contradicted the zoonotic theory, yet these findings were brushed aside, with officials like Keene insisting that gaps in surveillance capabilities explain the lack of evidence for natural transmission. The FBI and others rejected this reasoning, emphasizing that such dismissal only further muddied the waters. Support for the lab leak theory has grown despite these efforts to suppress it. In 2023, the Department of Energy aligned with the FBI in concluding that a lab origin was the most likely explanation. Former Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe unequivocally stated, "The people that had the most access to the most intelligence are telling you that the most likely origin of COVID-19 was a lab leak." This growing consensus raises the question, why was this theory silenced for so long? The broader implications of this suppression extend beyond the pandemic. Cases like Murthy versus Missouri underscore the dangers of government-directed chilling effect on free speech. When officials control narratives, public discourse suffers. And democratic principles are undermined. In the case of COVID-19, censorship not only delayed vital inquiries, but also exposed the fragility of public trust in institutions. Amen. 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 Well, we may as well plead the blood of Jesus over all the other mass shootings they're going to do. They've got them planned, you know. They've got their Manchurian candidates ready. Yes, sir. Oh, okay. Yes, sir. We got one more. We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning. The GEC is dead. Long live the GEC. Really? Yes. That would be one way to summarize the situation around the U.S. State Department's Global Engagement Center, or GEC, that has formally shut down. By judging by previous announcements, the move could prove to be, by and large, symbolic, as there are plans to continue the work by funding it and assigning the 120 GEC staff to other offices and bureaus. And the work has included surveilling America, flagging their social media posts for censorship in the U.S., critics have said. Many Republican lawmakers have been those among the critics over the previous years, and so has Elon Musk, who in 2023 did not shy away from branding GEC as a threat to our democracy, as the worst among the government entities that engaged in censorship and media manipulation. Musk, who is now set to become a member of President Trump's administration, and others raised the alarm when it came to light that the recent spending bill proposal included continued bankrolling of the GEC. The GEC launched in 2016 has been repeatedly accused and investigated as essentially an example of a policy gun, supposedly designed to tackle foreign disinformation challenges that the outgoing administration turned on its own citizens, threatening their right to free speech online. The end of GEC, as such, came with the spending bill passed last week in Congress, removing the approximately $61 million in funding that the agency received every year. You think we could have paid all our bills off with that $61 million? What you think? When it comes to the next steps regarding staff and unfinished GEC projects, the State Department said it was consulting with Congress on these issues. The State Department, now on its way out, has insisted that the GEC work to counter Russian, Chinese, et cetera, disinformation. But one of the House investigations that looked into the activities of the agency conducted by the Committee on Small Businesses looked into the ways the government-funded companies who then damaged competitiveness of small businesses online because of their lawful speech. The GEC also shows up in an interim report by the House Judiciary Committee's Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government as coordinating with third parties to censor Americans ahead of the 2020 election. We want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudications concerning such. Amen. Brother Marshall, it's that time of day.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Mercies are new every day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you've begun and you're carrying it on to completion. We thank you, Lord, that when we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord, for the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness that we shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. And it says in Isaiah 32:17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. So we can rest assured that he who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And thank you, Father God, for raising us up together with Christ Jesus, that we're seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places according to your word, because Jesus hung on that tree, because he took our cup of cursing, because we have that great privilege of drinking into one spirit with him. He's joined unto the Lord as one spirit. There's a spirit of truth and there's a spirit of error. From my position seated in heavenly places, we bind you, Satan, that spirit of error, and all your little undoings are bound. Every spirit of deception, mind-blinding spirits are bound in Jesus' name because of the bloody covenant. And we thank you, Father, for exposing all these things that the enemy has done, is doing, and has been busy trying to do, going on and on and on, doing more and more rapidly. We thank you for that. You said in Luke 12:2, Jesus speaking, for there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. We thank you for exposing what the enemy is doing. We thank you for bringing it to light. Because you said that the light exposes the darkness. And we give you praise and honor and glory for what you have done, are doing, and going to do. For all these different items that Brother Bill was so nice to put, to post, we thank you, Brother Bill. God bless you, and Happy New Year to all the saints. We thank you, Lord, for purchasing us with your own blood. And you are the last Adam, Lord Jesus, like it says in 1 Corinthians 15:45. And Adam means blood on the face. The last Adam, the eternal word of God, spoke the first Adam into being. You know what was going to happen, which is why you knew you had to hang on that cross. You knew what was going to happen. You are that prophet, and you gave many, many times you talked about that you would have to hang there. And even the Jewish people who said it's unlawful for us to kill any man, they knew they'd have to get the Romans to do it for them, Father. And even though, of course, they pretended, oh, we didn't have anything to do with it. Right, uh-huh. So, Father, there's been a lot of deception going on through the ages, Father God. There are a lot of people prodding other people to do their dirty work, Father God. We ask you to expose everything that's going on in every one of these situations, and not just all these different items that Brother Bill has just posted, Father God, in Jesus' name, including what the GEC actually did that was actually meant to help the big businesses get ahead and squish the little ones, Father God, and to squish dissent, to squish people getting the truth out there, including, as Brother Bill talked about, where did the whole COVID-19 come from? A lot of people have known for quite a while. It did not just start in China. No, there are demons in every nation, including U.S. Department of Defense. And they knew they couldn't keep it over here, so they sent it over there. Now, they can call it the China virus, or so-called elected president like to call it that. But that's really not completely the full truth. It's the Fort Detrick demon that managed to go over to China and come bouncing back to visit us, and they were happy to help. They even used some on their own people, and they managed to have 5G towers go up just at the same time. So that's nothing to do, just a coincidence. Just a coincidence, the electronic things, because previous pandemic in 18, whatever it was, they happened to start, they called it the telegrapher's disease because they were suddenly exposed to all this new electronic frequency they'd never been exposed to before, because human beings are electronic beings. They're not just chemical. Yes, we're all a combination. We are fearfully and wonderfully made because we're made in your image, Lord, and God is a spirit. And they that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and truth. And that spirit sometimes can manifest electronically in different ways. We give you praise and honor and glory, Father, for changing us and protecting us. We ask for adjudications concerning all these lies concerning the so-called COVID-19 origins, not to mention the so-called bird flu. Nonsense, and it is absolutely nonsense. What does it say? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So, Father God, help the people, and there's so many still, Father, that actually believe that the government had their best interest at heart, Father. Help the people to have some discernment, Father God, including the parents and the grandparents that are paying for their children, to consider higher, so-called higher education or higher brainwashing. Some people go to very nice schools. They look nice on the surface, but they still have Harry Potter in there. They still have nasty things, even in the grade schools. Why do we need to teach rock and roll? Why do we need to teach Beyonce? Why do we need to teach the current pop culture? Have people already figured out how to read and write? The public schools are not doing the best job they could, Father God. And originally, when the public schools were started, it's so people could have the Bible. All these Ivy League schools started as Bible schools, Father God. They started with the scripture, Father God, in Jesus' name. What happened, Father God? It seems to be a plan of the enemy, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father God, for giving the different people, including the Attorney General in Montana, some guts to stand up against the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Father God. What was his name? Austin Cunderson, Father God. We thank you for causing him to say, nope, no, we don't need a foreign country in here to spy on our own citizens. Father God, we thank you, Father God. The United States has been privileged to keep the deep state somewhat at arm's length because we do have this Second Amendment, Father God. But it seems to be the First Amendment has been thrown in the trash. In fact, a lot of people don't think they want to even believe in the Constitution. Some people think when Obama went in that he didn't really swear to uphold the Constitution, that he went down into some deep dungeon thing there and swore obedience to Masonic demons, Father God. And some of those people, Masons, what do Masons do, Father God? Masons have a little thing where they like to say they can build back better, right? They like to build with stones. But, Father God, we're coming near the end of the age, Father God, the end of the time, and things are changing rapidly, Father, in Jesus' name. And we were warned, Father God, actually it's a prophecy, and it's very, very clear, Father God, in your word, that the body of Christ needs to be full of Jesus, Father God. And who was Jesus? Who was that rock that followed the manna? What happened out of that rock from, where is that, Exodus 7:6? Kind of, he stood there on that, I guess I should read it. I don't have it memorized. Exodus, how many words? Exodus, I think that's where it is. Exodus 17, thank you, Holy Ghost. 17:6. The Lord says to Moses, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock. There shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. That was the first time around. It was okay to smite the rock the first time. The second time, Moses was controlled by a spirit of being a little bit fed up with the people he was supposed to be leading out of Egypt, Father God. He spoke unadvisedly with his lips, like it says in Psalm 106 or something like that. But, Father God, there is that rock. And who is that rock? And this is Daniel got the prophecy, Father God, because he and his buddies, because he said, you said, before it was even written down in Matthew 18:19, two of you on earth agree, touch anything you ask, it shall be done, my Father is in heaven, and from our positions, he heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we ask for adjudications, every one of these things. But they stood, the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they asked for your wisdom, what to do about this dream the king had. And he said in Daniel 2:34, I saw till the stone, who's that stone? That's Jesus. He's the rock of ages. Was cut out without hands. You don't need masons. Mm-mm. No chisels. A stone was cut out without hands. You don't need Barack or Saint Obama. A stone was cut out without hands, who smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. May not feel like summer here. Maybe it does down in Australia, but not here. And the winds carried them away. The Holy Ghost carried them away. And no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And filled the whole earth. Father God, you're going to fill the whole earth with your glory. And we thank you for what you've begun and you're carrying it on to completion. We give you praise and honor and glory. You're going to fill the whole earth. What does it say in Numbers 14:21. I don't have it memorized, so bear with me, saints. Bear with me, Lord. Thank you for your patience. Your mercies are new every day, Father. Where's Numbers 14:21? It's before Deuteronomy. Numbers 14:21. What does it say there, Lord? This is back in what Moses got from you, Lord. But as truly as I live, saith the Lord, truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. So we thank you for your glory, for defense, like it says in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5. And it says in Psalm 72, 19, help me, Jesus. We ask for adjudications, Father. We thank you for giving Jesus all power in heaven and earth, because he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Help me, Jesus. We're almost there, 72, 19. King David said, the great psalmist. Thank Jesus. And glory be, blessed be his glorious name. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Thank you. Glory the Lord Jesus had with you from before the foundation of the world. How he prayed about you so much that you died on Calvary. Look at that rock, the rock of ages. You're still Lord to me. You're still Lord. You're still my Father.
And
we're going
on
earth. I still feel your touch.
Hope that you'll
work just like you. God has
of the angels of the Lord take them. Let their way be peace. Angels of the Lord, pursue. For without the headache for my soul, let destruction come up as unawares, let it nest. Let us all the things that amen and amen in Jesus' name. For that, thank you.